Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 388. This is the Yuletide episode here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're doing the first episode in the holiday season after the lovely Thanksgiving holiday that rolled over everything. Hopefully everybody out there had a grand start to your week. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff that we're going to be talking to you about today. We are doing the Wednesday live feed here over on Ustream.tv. So if you're around on Wednesday evening some night, check on over at twitter.com/caffeination and you will find out where we're going to be broadcasting live. If you log into Ustream, you can actually chat real time during the recording of the episode. We have a couple guests in there now. Hello, people. We also have a bunch of fun links to actually talk about today. Now, usually I'll dawdle and tell you about all the stuff that's going on, all the fun little things that are happening around here at the Caffeination Lair, but unfortunately we don't have that kind of luxury here tonight. Mainly because we have over 30 different little stories to talk about. I kind of broke it up into three sections today. We have Holiday Cruft, Geek Cruft, and then Food and Caffeinated Bits, all to round out the show. So in case you are unaware where to find the episodic content for today's episode or any of its other little friends, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that one out. Pretty much everything I do is under some form of caffeination. The only thing that really irritates me is the Skype ID is actually the Caffeination, all one word. So the people over on Ustream are hopefully going to be able to see this, but we're actually rocking a little bit of a real-time caffeination this time. I have my French press about half full, and that's full of actually some regular down-home chock-full of nuts coffee tonight. I'm running dangerously low on the home-roasted stuff. All the really, really good stuff isn't up to par right now, so I don't have too much of it, so I want to save it for the espresso and things like that. We are actually drinking out of my absolute favorite mug right here. It's a giant beer stein from, I call it a mug. You have a problem with that? We have a giant beer stein that I actually got from the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and it holds quite a bit of actual caffeination for the Caffeination. All right, before we get too much further into this, would like to make mention the fact we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find out all the other member shows over at www.techpodcasts.com. Everybody's agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So it's a really cool place to kind of hang out, check out all the other interesting and fun shows over there. There's a lot of really, really good content there all the time. So there's also another network we're a part of called the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's like MySpace for podcasts, Facebook for podcasts. It's where there's everybody links up to all the other different shows that they actually listen to. I actually need to get back in there and update my listening list. But it's kind of a cool way to find shows that if you like the things that I might like, then you might want to head on over there and check it out. It's an interesting way to find new content. And last but most certainly not least, we are a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. Now, this episode, and many others like it, are sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. I just wanted to take a couple moments to tell you a little bit about GoToMeeting. There's some very cool features that I think you should be aware of. First of all, you can start any meeting with just one click. It's available on both the PC and the Mac, and your clients, the people who are joining your meeting, don't actually need to have an account on the service to actually use it. It's really cool. It's true 24-bit color. They see what's on your desktop. It's your computer desktop on their screen. It's really, really seamless and smooth. It's really nice. You have chat functionality. You can go back and forth. You can record. You can play back. And you can automatically integrate it into your scheduling through Microsoft Outlook. There's even cool drawing tools so that you can actually play your own little John Madden Telestrator stuff on the screen. You can indicate as to what you're doing on some of the documents. It's kind of like having a laser pointer, but without the ocular damage. Now, it also includes phone conferencing and voice over IP support, and our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff, Yeah, we have a ton of content. Like I said, we're actually breaking it up into three little sections here today. We're doing the Yule Holiday Cruft. It's not necessarily all Yuletide. We're going to be rocking three simultaneous little holiday celebrations. I don't have anything for Kwanzaa, so we couldn't throw that one in there as well. We do have a couple things about Hanukkah. We have a couple things about Christmas, which is the one that we celebrate in this layer. And we also have some one little interesting thing about the solstice, if that's your bag as well. Just in case anybody was unaware, this year, Hanukkah actually starts on December 11th, so if you have any Jewish friends, then you can wish them happy Hanukkah starting that day. We have a couple people joining us in the chat room. Hello to Ghost Mode and Barton. I don't even know how to say your name, man. Oh, and Norbert's there too. So, hi, guys. Yeah, we're trying to work through a bunch of the holiday stuff. Then we're going to get into the Geek Cruft, as I said. And we're also going to go into the food and caffeinated bits, as always, at the end. So it's kind of cool. So, all right, let's see what we got first. The first thing that we have up here is there's apparently a bunch of worldwide Hanukkah celebrations that are all kind of coinciding together. It's really kind of cool. It's the Chabad Lubavitch Jewish Outreach Organization. There's 650 cities around the world that are all trying to coordinate... Yes, Holiday Cruft, Norbert. They're all trying to coordinate different celebrations, and everything starts on December 11th. Now, the reason that this makes it onto a cafe Nation podcast is not just because of the wide-ranging support for people that are going to be enjoying the holiday, but it's also because they're actually talking a little bit about Legos. Yes, you heard me hear correctly. Apparently, there's one celebration that's going to be on December 13th. There's going to be a parade of... I had this. All right, there it is. Sorry. December 14th, a Hanukkah party in Binghamton University in upstate New York is going to be making a menorah out of thousands of pieces of Legos. After it's lit, the Lego menorah will be disassembled and donated along with hundreds of other toys to a collected toy drive. If it has Legos, it's probably going to end up on my show. That's just how it goes. All right. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. I love that. That there was all kinds of really kind of interesting little things that are happening with the different holidays, and I really, really like it when you see stuff kind of coincide with giving back to the kids, so that's even more fantastic. All right, now the next little thing, oh yeah, one thing I did want to actually make mention of right there, I demand pictures of this, yes, we do need a Lego dreidel, but I demand pictures of a Lego menorah. I have not seen any of them so far. I don't know if this is the first year that they're going to be doing it, but I demand that they produce these pictures because it is a moral necessity that we have these, because I would love to put them up here. The only cool thing is that there is actually a place you can go over at thinkgeek.com. You can actually get a LED menorah. Now, last year I talked a little bit about this, and we're going to be switching over for the people on Ustream to the actual desktop so that you can see it. But we're going to be... you can actually see The LED menorah is a circuit board with different little lights for every day and night. There's also one for a Christmas tree, which is cool, but it doesn't seem to have the same kind of functionality, because if it has to be Hanukkah, then you have to be able to light everything up in succession to actually make it work. The cool thing about these things is that they're scaled to the size of the 9-volt battery. The 9-volt is part of the base, and it actually lights up the whole thing. So there's actually tiny little dip switches on the bottom that allow you to light one LED a day. They're $15 for either the tree or the LED menorah, so I thought that was really cool and wanted to pass it along. Last year we talked just a little bit about it, and I didn't have really good information, so I wanted to make sure that I made mention of it this year. All right, now the next little thing that we have up for you is actually an even crazier thing. I don't know why people are interested in Bigfoot this time of year, but for some reason... Bigfoot stories have been coming fast and furious at me. I have no clue how they actually got in there, but they seem to be. And one of the funnier things about this is the fact that there's now Bigfoot stockings. You heard me hear correctly. It says, have a happy disco Bigfoot Christmas. A person put up there a whole bunch of really geeky stockings that they actually had together. It's stuff along the lines of... It's stuff along the lines of a shiny, sparkly, Bigfoot piece. Then there's a Green Lantern. There's also, which is actually really cool, there's a bunch of Mario 1-Up mushrooms. My favorite is actually the Fantastic Four and the Ghost from Pac-Man. I think they're just relatively cool. And just in case you were really interested, there's actually a zombie one at the bottom right as well. I thought they were kind of cool and interesting, so I wanted to share with the group right there. All right, the next link that we got coming up for you right now is actually Target. Now, I don't ever talk about gift cards on the podcast. It's pretty much because gift cards are relatively boring. Now, there's been a couple really interesting ones that I've seen the past couple. They started last year with a Blockbuster gift card that was actually a camera, so that if you clicked on the thing, it would actually take a couple little things. It would take a couple little pictures. I think it was an entirely digital camera. And hello, Danger Monkey, for stopping into the live thing as well. We have a whole bunch of people hanging out in there right now. Thank you to everybody. But Target is actually kind of taking it one step further. They've actually taken it to normal, regular remote-controlled cars. Now, why would I say that? Well, Target has actually found a way to turn the gift card itself into remote control. And there's a tiny little mouse that actually exists on the top of the gift card that comes off. So you can still use the gift card as normal. I'm trying to get the actual image up there to show everybody. But there's a tiny little mouse in a tiny little box that actually runs around at completely controlled by the gift card. And for some reason, the links aren't working right now, but that's fine. The other cool thing that I saw this year, which I was raving about this, and the wife wouldn't actually let me get it because we didn't have anybody to buy it for, but there's a gift card that actually exists in Home Depot right now that you're going to be able to use the gift card case after the fact. The idea behind it is that there's two bubble levels in the actual metal case, and the metal case is perfectly flush all the way around. So you slide the card actually right into the side of the metal case, and after you're done with the gift card, you have two rather inexpensive looking bubble levels. But hey, I mean, there's the horizontal and the vertical, so you could be your own little Twilight Zone, control the horizontal and the vertical there. Next item that we have for you here, we're rocking out a tiny little bits of the holiday cruft still. You can build your own solstice celebration if you really want to. You can head on over to thinkgeek.com. They actually have build your own Stonehenge kit, and since a lot of people celebrate the solstice at Stonehenge, more so the summer solstice because it's a little bit nicer to hang out in Northern England, but I think it's northern. I think it's kind of like middle of England, actually, but it's kind of cool. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. They have it shown on a relatively tiny little green disc, and they also have it showcased around a coffee mug, which is where my Stonehenge celebration would actually be. And the funny thing is, it's showcased on the ThinkGeek page around an Inatech thing, so it's a direct reference to the lovely movie Office Space, along with the red swing line stapler. But it also says sacrifice accepted under it. I personally would never sacrifice coffee or quality for my solstice celebration. But the thing here is, I think that there might be a little bit of favoritism going towards the people who celebrate the solstice, because it's only $6.95 for this, and the other two things that they had, direct holiday-related items, were both $14.95. So you could buy two solstice celebrations, one for the summer and one for the one for the solstice and one summer and one for the winter. So I'm sorry, it says my screen's coming out on the Ustream feed backwards, so you're actually seeing like inverted letters and stuff. That'd be kind of crazy, but yeah. Now, that's weird. So, yeah, hopefully just the pictures will come through. Don't try and read any of the text. It's like reading in a dream. Now, the next item that we're going to talk about just incredibly briefly is, if you listen to the last show, you're going to hear a little bit about Child's Play Charity. It's a organization entirely run by the guys over at Penny Arcade. What they do is they donate every single dime that you donate directly to hospitals that buy games for sick kids. Can't argue with that this time of the year, so it's a interesting little bundle of charities that they have over there. So, you know, that's all we wanted to talk about. That about wraps it up for the holiday craft section. Wanted to try and squeeze it in the first half of the podcast. Not sure how good we're actually doing with the squeezing part, but hey. And unfortunately, I did not have it in mirror mode, but we're using... I can play around with the settings in one of the programs that I use called ManiCam, so I can actually show myself upside down and fun stuff like that, but I didn't think that it would actually mess around with the desktop. I'll have to see if that actually plays around like that. But okay. All right, we're going to try and continue on here. Up first in the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast is what I call the baby escape pod. They're saying keep the baby swaddled. It's an article from over at Yanko Design. Now, Yanko Design, if you're unfamiliar with it, is a fun place where you can actually, where they showcase different design concepts. At certain times, they show stuff that does exist, at other times they show stuff that doesn't. So this is one of the things that does not exist as of yet. This is kind of a lowrider baby seat, car seat. I'm not sure how this would work for some of the more compact cars, because the kid's kind of lying right along the line of where the impact would be. But it is an interesting contraption to hold your kids down, so I'm not really sure how that would actually work out. I like the idea in general, but it looks too much like a Superman capsule for me to actually risk putting my kid and something like that, and it does not. All right, yeah. So I think we fixed the thing over on Ustream. All the weird issues with the video. So hopefully that worked. Yeah, it does look like an escape pod. Hello to everybody who's stopping in. Thank you ever so much. Moving right along to the next item that we have for you here. Don't know if you heard this, but today Google announced that they're going to allow content providers to actually limit the free access to news articles. So that, for instance, if you click through Google News to go to articles, let's just say, for instance, on the New York Times, if you click more than 5 articles a day, you're going to have to go into the pay window. There's a problem with this. There's actually multiple problems with this. And I know a lot of people who say, you know, content shouldn't be free, and there's no way to make money on free content. And they point to subscriptions for newspapers, the fact that the subscriptions are actually going down heartily, and they say this is why newspapers are losing so much money. So unfortunately, that's not entirely 100% of the story there. If you really think about it, and there's a couple little rebuttals that have actually been posted. One especially fun over at TechDirt, where they actually talk about the fact that subscription revenues have never been the hardcore bread and butter for any of the newspapers. It's basically been a way to kind of offset the printing costs. So if you're not printing as many newspapers because people aren't buying them, the subscription benefits aren't necessarily as great. What they used to make all their money on is advertising. The problem is the advertisers are giving them less money for each piece of content. So it's kind of hard to actually make money as they were used to, because the advertisers are giving them less and less. Part of it is because of metrics. The advertisers aren't sure how many people are actually reading the articles, how many people are just blind to the ads as they see them. And there really hasn't been a paradigm set forth for the right way to do ads on an online newspaper yet. So until that happens, I have a feeling that, you know, Google's going to keep bowing to the content providers. All right, now the next little thing that I have for you here is a exhibit of Lego sculptures. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, I love Legos, as you could probably tell. But Nathan Sawaya is a genius when it comes to sculpting things out of Legos. He has made his publicity appearances based off of this at this point. So he does a lot of really, really cool things, and does like crazy cool sculptures out of Legos. If you're looking at the stream right now, you can see a giant Lego hand. He has a very popular one where there's a Lego man who's all in yellow, who's pulling his chest apart, and you see bricks falling out. Well, he's actually going to be exhibited in an art gallery. There's an art gallery in Rochester, New York. I already told my good friend Nick, who moved up there not too long ago, so if anybody's in that area, you too can head on over and check out your very own Lego installation in a museum. There's going to be 29 of the man's sculptures. It's called The Art of the Brick, and there's also going to be another exhibit called Lego Castle Adventure. So it's going to be, it was from this previous Saturday until March 14th, and then from January 23rd until May 9th for the Lego Castle Adventure. So that's just fantastic. I also was unaware that he used to be a lawyer, which is kind of a little strange. He said he was trying to find a way to actually He's trying to find a way to step beyond that. So it's really, really kind of cool. So, all right, next little link that we got for you right up here is a how to throw a Lego birthday party. Told you that we had a lot of really cool things here on the for Legos on the podcast. But one mother decided that she was going to host a Lego party for her kids. I think she should be up for Mom of the Year because I think it's fantastic. But we're moving beyond that little thing. What she did was she actually got a ton of Legos, put them all out on the table for all the kids that were invited over for the party, bought everybody their very own little 10x14 sheet or whatever it is, the standard green base plates, 10x10 Lego building plates. Every kid had their own, and they all got to build their own cool little sculpture on there. And then, to make it even cooler, she took pictures of everybody and put it in a book for her kid so that he could relive it after the fact. I love that. I think that that's awesome. And then, to top that off, this is the kind of thing that we would usually put in the Food and Cruft edition, or the Food and Caffeinated Bits edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, but she actually made cakes that looked like Lego bricks. Now, I've seen this done before, and it's never done fantastically. This is unbelievable. She got the colors right, she got the brick layout right, and yeah, it looks a little bit cakey, but that's perfectly fine. You're not talking about Duff from Ace of Cakes here, but she actually used the 50mm lens on her camera to actually be the size for the bricks, which is fascinating. So that's just fantastic. I would love to have a Lego birthday cake, and I'm definitely bookmarking this one for a little bit later in my kid's life. I mean, I think the fourth birthday might be a little too early. Depends on how he really gets into Legos at that point. But I think that's awesome. So so we're just going to move right along. Now, it's very rare. I'm not saying that I'm the most well-read geek in the planet, because that's very, very far to from the fact. But of most of the really esoteric stuff, I'm pretty good at picking out. It's like, okay, you know, okay, you're referencing that one crazy machine that they found in the Mediterranean Ocean. I might not be able to pronounce it right off the fact, but I know what you're talking about when you tell me about it. If you move beyond that, like there's just things that I know about and know of that it's like, okay, yeah, I've read so many different articles over the almost 4 years of doing the podcast that I have a pretty good handle on all the really, really, yeah, that rusted gear thingy. I have so many different crazy geeky things stuck up in my head that it's really rare that I get blindsided by something. So this is something that completely caught me out of the view. It's called the Voynich manuscript. Now, I was unaware what this thing actually was. Apparently, it's a crazy undeciphered illustrated book that was supposed to have been written sometime in the 14th through 16th century. The author, the script, the language, everything is completely unknown about this. For all anybody knows, there could have been a scribe who had completely lost his marbles and actually just started, you know, playing around with a pen. They've gone through different cryptography experts throughout history. They don't even know what language this thing is written in. I'm going to be putting an image of it up on the screen so that you can actually see it. But they're saying it might be Italian, it might be Latin, it might be English, it could be, who knows. They're not even calling these things letters, they're calling them glyphs, which is a very, very accurate description on what they are. But it's just crazy to think that something like this could have existed for so long, and first of all, that I hadn't heard about it, and second of all, that, you know, cryptography experts hadn't been able to crack the code so far. So that might have changed. There has been a lot of work recently in actually trying to showcase some of these letters and actually say, okay, let's just try different languages and try anagrams. Now, they're saying that there's a lot of different things that are common about a lot of the pieces in it. There's like roughly 30 to 40 different glyphs that get repeated over and over again. They actually have, you know, frequencies for everything. You can actually see it. It's in the Banecki Rare Book and Manuscript Library at Yale University. It's listed as item MS-408. So there's actually supposed to be an online version of it that you can download in its entirety. Some of the illustrations are crazy. They look like they were added by a kid with a bunch of colored pencils after the fact. And it's really, really insane. So they're trying to say Semitic alphabets. They're trying to try Cyrillic, Latin, everything. And they can't figure out what it is. Well, there might have been a crack in the case. And I have a link up to the article by by Edith Sherwood, where she thinks that it might actually be anagrams of Italian words that were then shifted into the glyph language. So if you take it, it's kind of like attempting to read Da Vinci without realizing that he used mirror script and that he was speaking Italian. So it's like, okay, you're sitting there, you're in Germany, you're saying, okay, so we're just going to try all the German letters, and that doesn't work out. And so then you try and figure out what the things are on the screen, and it just doesn't make any sense at all. So they were saying that at the time that this thing was supposed to have been written, very few people could actually read and write. So they noticed a couple little strange things about it. First of all, each one of the little swipes, each one of the glyphs was actually made in one or two swipes, and there was no long pause in between, so the ink couldn't dry in between each one. It was like a quick succession. Whoever did it actually knew what they were doing. So there might have been a break in it, and there's just no complete description or deciphering as of yet. So there's that interesting thing that's been put out there. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is a crazy little collaboration of stuff. All right, I'm going to say Mario, I'm going to say Bowser, and then I'm going to say Samurai. And now I think I have most people's attention. There's a lovely piece of artistry that's actually been found from over at geekalohi.com that's actually a recreation of what would be a traditional Japanese or Chinese scroll, but including Mario, Bowser, and what looks like a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex, except for the fact that they're saying that the Tyrannosaurus Rex is actually Yoshi. So then it makes sense, but it's gorgeous, it's beautiful. I would love to hang this on my wall. Unfortunately, there's no larger size of this, or no significantly larger size of this. There needs to be a series of these done with all the really older Nintendo and video game characters, because this is unbelievable. Like, I'd like to see one with Link and Zelda. It kind of reminds me of some of the aesthetics that go into like There Will Be Brawl. It's kind of a really gritty version of what you would imagine video games to be in real life. So it's just fantastic. And there's some work that's actually being done to try and find the artist to see if there's more in this series. It's really, really unbelievable. Now, the next little item that I have for you right here, there's a persistent design. For those of you that have tried Windows 7, there's that interesting little graphic that appears in the very beginning, and what it's been described as is a bunch of fireflies that kind of merge into the logo after a little while. It's interesting, to say the least. It's not irritating, which is one of the weird things to say about a design. But when you really think about it, this one thing is going to be viewed by everybody over the lifetime of Windows 7. Now, it could end up being more irritating down the road, but you would wonder who Microsoft would give an idea like this to. Who would get this project? Is it a team of crack designers or something like that? No, it actually ended up being one man. His name is Rolf Ebling, and if I butchered his name, I'm incredibly sorry, but I do think that it's probably not the dog from the Muppets, which I'm a little bit dissatisfied at, because I think Rolf would actually do something really cool with that. It's 150 frames. He designed it all himself, so that entire piece of work was down to one man. That is so rare in the software industry, I don't even know where to begin. So it's kind of cool to see something like that, and see somebody's individual accomplishment actually make it that far. And if you really look at it, you can kind of see the fact that there was no committee at work or any larger body that kind of messed it up. It's clean, it's efficient, and then it's gone. It's kind of like the original Mac startup sound. There was no focus groups, there was nothing. It was just one guy with a processor who was trying to see if he could make an interesting sound. So there you go. Next little thing we have for you here is the world's largest POV display. Now, I'm not talking about point of view, I'm talking about persistence of vision. Now, have you ever seen one of those things in the novelty stores where it's like a little bit of a base and then there's a tiny wand with LEDs on it that go back and forth? Well, that's called a persistence of vision. Basically, your eye is focusing on something past where it is, and you see the entirety of the time as it flicks back and forth across your field of vision. So it's kind of an optical trick. Now, the world's largest persistence of vision display has recently been procured over in Germany. Now, first of all, if anybody tells me that there's going to be a windmill installation, I'm immediately thinking Holland. I'm not thinking Germany. They put it onto a a giant wind turbine. So there's 9,000 LEDs, 3,000 on each of the 30-meter blades, and it can pump out 20,000 candelas of when it's fully illuminated. That is massive. I mean, beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. The only thing is the thing turns so slowly that the only way to get that really cool image that they have over at Hackaday is to actually have a time-lapse camera. So that's the only way you're going to get anything like that. So in otherwise it just really looks like a giant red and blue blur through the sky, which is really kind of interesting. Next little thing that we got for you right here is a cool keyboard just for kids. Now, if you have kids, I would probably do this on one of the keyboards that you don't use. Now, imagine having a keyboard that was completely pictographs. So for every single letter that you had on the keyboard, you would have a picture that actually represented the same thing that was over there, which is really cool if you really think about it, but if you're not a touch typist, then you're not going to see it. So they have P is for pirate, U is for umbrella, and one of my favorite is B is for Bowie. I mean, you just can't beat that kind of awesomeness, but I guess they have samurai, D is for devil. They have all these kind of crazy ones. So the thing I'm actually thinking about doing is ordering a set of these, putting it on a second keyboard, and giving it to my kid. Yeah, he's only 3 years old, but there's never never a time where you shouldn't be learning. So I think that's just fantastic. Danger Monkey actually gave her son a keyboard when he was 3. He had a thing for keyboards. Yeah, my kid actually has had a old Mac keyboard for quite a while. He actually uses it kind of like as a ramp for his cars now, but he likes typing on them like daddy. So I didn't want to necessarily say that I had just destroyed a keyboard for that, but I want to get a good one to actually put the pictographs on. All right, now the next little thing that we have up for you here is the last item in the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but a husband and wife update Facebook and Twitter at the altar. Yeah, this is ridiculous. I'm not sure why you would do this. Apparently, the husband said he did it entirely on his own. I'm not going to give the guy any more publicity. I'm just going to link to the story, so if you're really interested, you can wait for the podcast to come out and actually do it. But he pulled an iPhone out. Of course it would be an iPhone, wouldn't it? Pulled an iPhone out at the altar. He had already talked to the priest ahead of time, or the minister, whoever, the person standing up there at the front of the altar, and said, "One second," and updated his Facebook status to married. And then when his wife kind of looked irritated at him, I wonder why, he handed her her phone so that she could update her status as well. Then they, of course, sent out a tweet saying that they were both married. There's a time and a place for that. That's not one of them. So the altar's kind of supposed to be a sacred thing. That's kind of its deal. So you should probably keep it that way, even if you're not entirely and utterly religious. It's just respect to the what other people think about it. Yeah, that's just not entirely kosher, or whatever you really want to say about that. All right, we're moving right along to the food and caffeinated bits here at the Caffeination Podcast, and as always, I'm running long, so we're going to be snipping some of this down, but this is fun. Now, you remember a little while ago I talked about drinking coffee in space. Now, the video seems to have some issues with the current setup, everything running on the one computer right now, but there's actually an astronaut who had really, really, really wanted to drink coffee in space. Now, if this was me, I would really like to drink coffee in space without a straw, because coffee with a straw is just not a good idea. It burns pretty much, pretty badly. Even iced coffee probably doesn't taste as well as it should. So what he did was he actually invented a plastic cup, which it looks just like a plastic film that is shaped like the you would imagine the cross section of an airplane wing, that works entirely off the surface tension of whatever liquids are in there. I'm not sure if it would work for a Code Red, Norbert, but because I'm not sure if the carbonation would actually break the surface tension, but it's really neat. He actually pours the coffee in there, squeezes it out of the coffee pouch, and then you see it stick to the inside of it, and that in order to drink it, in order to sip it, you actually tilt the pointed end of the aircraft wing towards you and take a drink like that. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, that's just fantastic. And yes, there is a way you could get your caffeination in space besides downloading the podcast. I actually heard they have a pretty good internet connection up there, but you could have chocolate-covered espresso beans, definitely, Danger Monkey. All right, now, if you've been following us here in the Caffeination Podcast for any length of time, you'll know that we have a thing for robots as well, and for crazy cats that interrupt recording. But We have a thing for robots as well. Now, there's an interesting thing from over at nerdapproved.com that actually has two robots, one for the salt and one for the pepper shaker, that are capable of winding up and then walking across the table with whatever salt or pepper that you have. Or if you're like me and you really like to torment people, I would probably wind it up and have it walk the opposite direction. I think that's pretty cool. They're $33 for the pair, so that's more than a little bit rough for the palate for a salt and pepper shaker. We have plenty of them around here. All right, now the next little thing that we have for you here is Brazilian coffee police fight coffee fraud. Now, this is not in the coffee that's exported from Brazil. The idea behind this is that there's actually a lot of fillers in the coffee that's consumed directly in Brazil. There's wood, there's corn, there's caramel, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that gets thrown in there. So there's a law in Brazil that says coffee has to contain less than 1% impurities. So the coffee police, as it is, the Brazilian Coffee Industry Association, or the ABIC, however it translates into Portuguese, is actually conducting different little on-the-spot collections of the coffee from the different roasters across the country that are slated for consumption inside the country. Brazil has a tendency to export all of their coffee in green form, or most of their coffee in green format, so it's pretty much you're getting everything that you would imagine that way. And so all the coffee that goes out is nice and clean, but you don't want the people drinking, like, you know, cornmeal and wood from the coffee tree inside Brazil itself. There's an interesting article for how do you pour a cup of coffee. It says a little time hack to actually save yourself some time is to actually add the milk and the sugar beforehand and then pour the coffee and then you're fine. One other thing that I've noticed, which if you've ever seen anybody actually work on a taste wine, how they swirl it around, it's called volatizing the aromatic esters. It's basically just aerating the wine ever so slightly. The idea behind this is that you can do a whole bunch of really interesting things. Well, if you're going to actually pour a cup of coffee and you'd like to do that at the same time, one of the things you can do is you can actually do a long pour. Now, not very many people think about this, but you can actually... The higher up you pour, the more bubbles that happen when it hits, and you're actually aerating the coffee ever so slightly. So if you're going to do it that way, make sure that you don't have a lot of expensive equipment around, and then you'll probably be all right. So, but you can probably see how there's a lot of tiny little tricks to actually see on so this. There's some disagreement, as Danger Monkey brought up. They said disagreement on whether or not you should do it beforehand or after. I am personally more of an after the fact person myself, because I like to actually add the cream up until it's a certain color, if I ever do it. I'm much more of a black coffee person in general, but I definitely hear the idea where you should really, you know, this way you actually know exactly how much milk and sugar in there, and it already mixes it without it. I'm of the mind that, you know, I don't mind putting a stirrer in there. That's just me. All right, we're going to move on. The next little thing for you here, this is entitled God Bless America, Monster Truck Chocolate Covered Bacon on a Stick, 2 for $3. Now, if you wrap your head around that kind of crazy offering, then you can imagine what I'm going to tell you here. That entire sentence actually directly describes a picture that they have up at geekalohi.com. They actually found a monster truck, or basically a pickup truck on with lifts. It doesn't actually look very monster to me. It just has some big tires, not like really massive. And it's crushing what would be a fake NASCAR, what looks kind of like a Pontiac with some vinyl on the front. And there's a sticker, basically, or a sign that's on the side. It says chocolate-covered bacon on a stick. It's 2 for $3. So in case you were wondering, yes, it does exist somewhere. I don't understand entirely where this is. They don't have a lot of information about it, but it's fantastic and a little bit more, actually more than a little bit, disturbing at the same point in time. So if you're really interested, you can click the link and find out on that. Two little things here to run you out on the end of the Caffeination Podcast. Lab Chops, scientists create artificial pork in the lab. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about lab meat. I've never really warmed up to the idea. I kind of like my meat to be able to escape if it really, really tried. Not that necessarily there's very much chance for that to happen, but, you know, I like being self-sufficient. Yes, they're trying to I understand why they're trying to do it. They said the only problem at this point is that they ended up creating soggy pork. So they basically multiplied the muscle tissue, and since it had never been exercised, it was limp. So, yeah, I don't know what to do beyond that. It's kind of interesting, but in a really disgusting way. So that means in some way, shape, or form, that if they try to regrow the pork muscle, they're actually going to have to exercise the muscle outside of any influence of an actual pig to create pork. And I've wondered this before, but I really want to know why pork actually gets the treatment that it does. Because if you really think about it, pork is created, and it has a name separate from pigs. Beef and other things have the same thing. But chicken is chicken, turkey is turkey. So it's like pork and beef have a completely separate life. They're divorced from the animals that you're eating. I don't mind eating pig or cow. I would like a little bit of truth in advertising with the meat. All right, and then the last little thing that we have for you here at the Caffeination Podcast is a little installation that I've been doing this week called Sketchy Poetry. If you've ever seen Mike Rohde from over at rohdezine.com, he does something called Sketch Notes, which are really, really cool. They're basically where he goes to a conference or something like that and actually takes notes in real time in these lovely scripts. So I've been doing a little bit of sketching in my office during lunch, kind of to, on the one hand, to take away some of the stresses that have currently existed. It's the end of the semester. I work at a university. And on the other hand, to just get a little bit more practice in drawing. So what I've been doing is actually writing haikus and attempting to kind of fit them into a sketchy format. So up here we have one of them. It's about coffee. That's why it's in the caffeinated bits. It's nervous energy. Energy, jittery beans run my life. Time for another. And with that, I think I'm going to head you out on your way for the end of the Caffeination Podcast. Thank you ever so much for sticking around and listening to all of my craziness through today's episode. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.